Romans 14 began with calling us to not judge one another, for we will be held accountable to one Lord, the same Lord. We are told that the strong should not look down upon the weak, and the weak should not judge the strong. We are then commanded to seek to live peaceably, to give deference, to not cause each other to stumble. Then we serve as Christ served, enabled by God Almighty. And now we are called to accept as Christ accepts unto the glory of God. Verse 7, therefore, accept one another, welcome and love each other, no matter how different, how, just as Christ also accepted us. Christ came, he sacrificed himself, and cleansed us of our sins, accepting us and making us acceptable. This word accept is to bring somebody to yourself with special care. It's used in Acts chapter 28 after Paul and his comrades are shipwrecked. And it says that those on the island of Malta made a fire and took them all in because of the rain that had started and because of the cold. They brought them to themselves and took care of them. In Matthew 10:40, you find a neat passage where it says, the one who receives you receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. So as we receive the followers of Christ, accept the followers of Christ, we are actually accepting Christ. And as we accept Christ, we're actually accepting God the Father. Christ accepted us when we were yet wretched, rebellious sinners. And that was as he was the holy God. How much more can we accept each other as humble sinners redeemed by his blood? We all do this for one reason, for the glory of God, the text says. What is our motivation? For God's glory, as Christ accepted us for God's glory. He says, for I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision. So he's going to come around and make an argument that we'll get back to. But we'll walk through this quickly. Christ fulfilled the law on Israel's behalf. He offered the perfect and final sacrifice on their behalf. He will sit on the Davidic throne. He will give peace. He's the perfect eternal priest. He's the greater prophet than Moses. So he came as a servant to the circumcision in behalf of the truth of God, that God, he always keeps his promises. God does not lie. He keeps his word. And he does it to confirm the promises given to the fathers, the Davidic, the Mosaic, the Abrahamic covenants. They find their fulfillments in Christ and his salvation and his reign. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and for the Gentiles, to glorify God for his mercy. So he came also to serve not just the Jews, but the Gentiles now as well, that those who are far off could be brought near, as it's written. So he points out to the Old Testament now these promises that he's fulfilling in regard to the Gentiles. Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing praises to your name. Again, he says, verse 10, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him, all the nations, people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, having their eyes opened to see. And again, he caps off with Isaiah. Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. All this inclusion of Gentiles and rejoicing of Gentiles and worship of God from the Gentiles stems from one single root, belief, hope in the root of Jesse. It's not just for Israel. Christ came for every tribe, tongue, and nation. And so this is where he comes full circle. We can accept each other, those who are brought into the family of God. Why? Because Christ has accepted us and he's broken down the barrier walls. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, rich or poor, uneducated, educated. No matter what distinction the world may try to draw and cause division, we can have unity in Christ. And now he closes with a benediction. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who is the one who is at work in us? The God of hope, the one who provides confident, empowering expectation. What is he to do? He's to fill us with all joy and peace in believing. He completes us in having joy and peace through our trust in his promises, his word, and his person. And why does he do it? So that we will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone so full of confident expectation of all the wonderful promises of God by the empowerment of the Spirit will be gracious. He will be loving and accepting of brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are called to accept as Christ accepts, unto the glory of God. And we can trust that God will fill us with joy and peace as we believe in his promises, which he will keep and always has kept, including the very promise that he would bring many different people from all the different places into one big family of God. And if he can do this, if he can break down the barriers and the walls and bring people who are followers of Satan and lovers of sin, dead in their trespasses and sins, to redemption and into one body under one Lord, can't we too accept each other as Christ has accepted us unto the glory of God Almighty?